Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2176, KH Sussex LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for convenience store with fueling stations to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 3.51 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the south side of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24, approximately 954 feet west of Angola Road, and also being the southwest corner of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24, and Angola Road, and being on the west side of Angola Road, approximately 250 feet south of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24. The 911 address is not available. The tax parcels are District 234, Map 11, Parcel 56.02, and it's a portion of that one. And then it's a portion in 5603, 5606, and 5609. Staff would note that we have the results, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We have the results of a DLDOT TIS scoping meeting. We also have a site plan, an exhibit booklet, and 12 letters in support of the application. Thank you.
All right, we thank you, and the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney with Morris James in Georgetown, and I represent KH Sussex LLC in conditional use number 2176. I have with me this evening Kirk Salvo, who is the principal owner of KH Sussex LLC. I have Mike Ryman from Becker Morgan, who did the technical design work. And I have Mr. Beringer with me from 7-Eleven. All of us will be available at the conclusion of our presentation to answer any comments or questions that you have. One of the owners of the land, Mr. Ennis, is also here in the rear and may want to comment at a later time. As is always the case, we have submitted to you exhibit books that contain a vast wealth of information, all of which is intended to encourage you to grant the conditional use application that we have presented to you for this evening's hearing. I will address some or all of those exhibits in a few moments. I do want to refresh your recollection about some of the events surrounding this application. It has a unique procedural history, and I believe the three of you on this end were here last year when we brought this application before. And for Ms. Wingate and Mr. Mears, this may be your first impression about this application, but there have been some changes in the law along the way. When we first applied last year, we had the opportunity to choose between being a B1, CR1, or any other district, or the newly created C3 districts, because the newest version of the commercial zoning ordinance had been adopted, but it had a delayed implementation period involved. And at the time we made the application a year ago, we chose C3 and went with the new code. As luck would have it, there also was pending a comprehensive plan that was the old one, and the new one was adopted later in the year after we had gotten out of the system. So, as luck would have it, because there was a new commercial code that we thought we were going to be able to comply with, which would have facilitated the need not to have a conditional use hearing, we wound up getting to the county council after a recommendation of approval here, and the county council said, no, we're going to turn it down and make you go back and get a conditional use. So here we are again with essentially the same application, and we are going to proceed on the basis of it being a conditional use. What I'd like to review with you is some of the technical data that goes into this application. It is located at the southeast corner of Delaware Route 24, John J. Williams Highway, and Sussex County Road 277 on Angola Road. If you look in your book at Exhibit 2.4, which is essentially the same one that's been put up by Ms. Cornwell, you'll see where we are. As Ms. Cornwell has pointed out to you earlier this evening, we have assembled some various tracts of land that are made up from portions or all of four different tax map parcels, and will come in to create the 3.51 acres that we have before you this evening. The property is currently zoned AR1 agricultural residential and is subject to a conditional use. That conditional use is in your book at Exhibit 3.1 if you choose to look at it this time. And what it does is it allows for the property to be currently used for marine storage and services, construction services, grass mowing, and power washing, all of which are scattered about on this particular site. The proposed use for this site as a conditional use would be for the applicant to be granted the opportunity to have a convenience store with fueling stations located on the site. Within the context of the comprehensive plan set out in 2018, this is a coastal growth area with commercial and convenience uses deemed to be appropriate. The reference to the coastal plan is located in Exhibit 2.7, and on the state strategies map for investment, it's level 3, which appears as 2.9 in the exhibit book. The application itself appears in the material that we've submitted, copies of deeds to the prior owners who have sold the property to Mr. Salvo are involved at Exhibit 3.2. We have copies of reports, studies, and other correspondence from permitting agencies scattered about, but in particular focused at 2.10 and 2.12 of the exhibit book. The streets that are adjacent to the property are public highways. There are references to that in Exhibits 3.3, 3.6, and 3.7, and Mr. Ryman will discuss with you those when he makes his presentation. Sewer is available through the Sussex County Unified District. Water supply will be through the Tidewater Utilities people. There are some wetlands maps appearing at 2.11. You've seen the location map, and there is a concept plan that we will be referring to as we proceed this evening, and that's located on 2.3 in the book, and includes a site map similar to this and also one that has referred to material will show the placement of the various structures and improvements that go with the proposed convenience store with fueling stations. With those thoughts in mind, I would point out to you that the standard of review for a conditional use is something to the effect that we are trying to make a wise judgment as to whether or not this particular property, if it were granted a conditional use, would be something that would provide full protection by a conditional use offered to surrounding properties, and is something that requires the exercise of zoning judgment. We'll come back to that at the conclusion of our presentation. I will now present to you Mr. Ryman to let him give you the technical detail that goes into this application.
Thank you, Mr. Schrader. For the record, my name is Mike Ryman. I'm a professional engineer with Becker Morgan Group. My address is 309 South Governors Avenue, Dover, Delaware. We are the design engineers for the project. I actually want to go back. You just have them all loaded together. Okay. Zoom that.
It's up at the.
You know, one of these days I'm going to get this thing. One of these days. Used to be up top there.
Ha!
There we go. Great. Thank you. First part is get the technology to work. Well, it's not working. All right. We're going to move on. All right, so the first thing I wanted to point out was this is actually in your book. This is an aerial showing the surrounding area and the development in the area. We are that little star right there in the center. Right, yep, thank you, Janelle. So we're that star, and that's about a 2.5 mile radius showing the growth in the area. Those are recorded projects that are underway or recently approved. And that's important to this particular application because this application is for a convenience facility with fuel. And one of the components of that is that this facility should be in a place where there is residential growth. And that is so that it can serve and provide business services to the local and growing area so that folks don't have to drive long distances to get things that they might need. Pick up milk, pick up bread, grab a bite to eat, get some gas in the car, those kinds of things. So it just makes sense that you want to have these types of facilities in an area with a growing residential area, which we have. The present site, I will get to. So this shows you the property itself, which is about 3.5 acres. You can see the boundaries here. This is Route 24 on the left, Angola Road, right there. The property, like I said, is about 3.5 acres. It is currently the subject of a couple of conditional uses on the property, conditional use 1881 and conditional use 2191. There's a number of activities that are commercial in nature already on the property, a marine storage and repair, as well as Ennis Homes Admin Office for modular and stick-built homes, a grass cutting business, and a landscaping and power wash business. So the site as it exists today is a commercial use. The proposed use, and I'll go with this picture. The proposed use, as Mr. Schrader has already indicated, is a convenience store with fueling. And this is a rendering of that layout right there. Very similar to what we had showed during the rezoning application. The store itself, which is right here, is about 3,500 square feet with associated parking around the facility in accordance with code. We have about 34 parking spaces. There's a fuel dispenser here for regular fuel and then a diesel fuel for those vehicles in the back. There's 8 dispensers, 8 pumps, 16 fueling stations in the front, 4 pumps with 8 fueling stations in the back, and then all the appropriate circulation. The site can clearly accommodate this use, as you can see by the amount of green area that we have surrounding the site. We have evaluated the site from a truck turning standpoint, and as far as truck and fuel delivery, and trucks can accommodate the turning movements throughout the site. Access to the site is via 2 access points, proposed to be via 2 access points. The first would be a full access movement on Angola Road, my apologies. And then on Route 24, the access would be limited to a right-in and right-out only. In addition to that, we would be constructing, and as would be required as part of the DLDOT review process, a multi-use path across the frontage, bike lanes, etc. As Mr. Schrader had indicated, one item that has been completed since we rezoned the property is a traffic study. When we were here before as part of the rezoning process, we submitted the service level evaluation form to DLDOT. And as is custom with rezonings, DLDOT had indicated that they would weigh the TIS as part of a plan or entrance plan application. So that was to be done at a later time. Given the fact that we were coming back before you with a conditional use site plan, we progressed the TIS process. We've actually completed that process, and a copy of the completed traffic study letter, the final TIS letter, is in the booklet on page 3, tab 3.7. So DLDOT has completed its review and has indicated that the access points that are shown are what are recommended, right in, right out on Route 24. And the full access being on this, I'll call it the side road, Angola Road, which is typical, quite frankly, on a project with a corner access. It is important to note that one of the requirements that was placed as part of the traffic study was to construct a concrete median on Route 24. And that's very important because that's going to restrict the left turns into the entrance. And as you know, we want to keep 24 free. And so that concrete median would keep people from turning left into that right in, even though it's a right in, right out entrance. It's just an extra safety measure to ensure people don't try to turn in. So that is part of the TIS and would be part of this project if it were successful to go forward. In addition to that, I think it's also important to point out that DLDOT has actually planned a project in this location. It's as part of their HEP process, which is called their Hazard Elimination Program. It is project T20122-00902. And essentially, and we're going to have a test on that later, see if you remember that number. Essentially, what that project entails is this right here, which is an addition of a number of auxiliary lanes on all four legs of the intersection. So additional left lanes, right lanes, on all legs that don't currently exist on all legs. And that increases the capacity of the intersection and how much volume of traffic can travel through it. Based on DLDOT's letter to us and documented in the TIS letter, that project is slated to start in the spring of 21 and be complete in 22. So we view this as, this is really a good opportunity for our particular project and to plan our project in concert with theirs and limit the amount of, you know, they go out and they build something, then we come right behind, it gets all done and looks great, they cut the ribbon, and then here we come right behind, you know, cutting it up and doing something new. We can actually plan this project together, which is something we just did up the road at Route 9 and 5 as well, those two projects. It just so happened that the timing worked, and those two projects went together, and that limits the amount of construction on the road at one time. So we think this is a really good opportunity to do that again here, and we have a lot of work to do with DLDOT to get through that process. As I indicated, you know, and I mentioned process, this is really the first step in a very long process for this project. Once we're complete with this conditional use process, we have a number of permits that we have to go obtain, DLDOT being one of those, Fire Marshal, the Sussex Conservation District for Stormwater, Department of Health and Social Services for Water Extension, DenRec for Sewer, Sussex County Public Works, Sussex County Planning. So there's a lot of process after this, probably at least another, you know, 8 months to, you know, it could be a year of process and approvals that we have to go through. And if we're fortunate enough to get through this process with you today or tonight, we look forward to proceeding on to next steps. And I just want to make sure that I've covered all of my maps and I have. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to Mr. Schrader, and I'll stick around for any questions.
Well, I got you up here, Mr. Ryman, if you will, please. Have you made an investigation into the availability of fire protection for this particular site?
Yes, the site does have adequate water to the site.
And that will be through Tidewater?
Correct.
And the County Engineering Department has agreed to provide sewer?
That is correct. It was placed into the Sussex County Sewer District.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to have Mr. Salvo come forward. Would you state your name for the record, please?
Kirk Salvo.
And what is your relationship to this particular project?
I am the manager of a family LLC.
And what do you expect to do with this site if you get approved?
Well, we are the contract purchaser of those four parcels. We have a conditional lease with 7-Eleven. Our intention would be to help them gain approvals, develop the site, and buy the, let me back up, we'll buy the property once it's approved, do the site work, lease to 7-Eleven, long-term hold.
You live in this area, correct?
I do have a house in Angola by the bay.
And in your opinion, as a resident of the Angola area, do you feel that the public purpose is served by the placement of this particular project?
It seems to be the market is ripe for it. 7-Eleven's very interested in being there.
And you are familiar with the neighbors. Excuse me, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I was just saying a bunch of my neighbors in Angola by the bay are looking forward to it.
And you are familiar with all the other projects that are within a 2.5 mile area of this site, correct?
Most of them, yes.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions to you, Mr. Salvo. Will you take a seat? We'll see if there's some any questions. For the members of the commission, I do have Mr. Behringer from 7-Eleven here. It probably is more appropriate that he answer questions than make presentations, although there is some reference in our documentation to the site plan as being developed by 7-Eleven and the proposed lighting and signage plans. What I'd like to point out to you is that under the terms of our current
county code for zoning. There is the opportunity for us as applicants with the direction of the county council to apply for a conditional use for commercial uses when the purposes of the zoning code are more properly served by a conditional use permit. That is why we're here this evening, and as I pointed out to you earlier, the purpose of conditional uses is to provide full protection to the surrounding areas by your opportunity to impose some conditions on site that may be reasonable to the use in order to protect the surrounding properties, all of which is based upon your reasonable exercise of your experience and zoning judgment. We have, as is always the case, provided you with a matrix of proposed findings of fact and perhaps some suggested conditions if you wish to impose them, which are set out in exhibits 1.8 and 1.9 for your use and review as you deem best. Otherwise, the three of us and Mr. Behringer are available to answer any questions that you may have about this particular application at this site.
All right, sir, we thank you. And we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Mears.
Well, sitting on the property and reviewing the site plan, I had a concern with the right out lane on the 24, but after seeing this map showing the deceleration lane and mention of the concrete median, which will stop left-hand traffic, I have no issues with it. That's all I have.
Thank you.
I was curious about the timing of the DelDOT improvements, and you already answered that, so that's all the only question I have. Thank you.
Charles? No questions.
Okay, Ms. Stevenson?
No, actually, I'm just waiting to hear what everybody else has to say before I ask any more questions.
Okay, staff?
No, for me.
All right.
No,
anyone
thank you.
Down here?
No, thanks.
All right, Mr. Schrader, if you'll take a seat nearby. As part of our efforts to comply with a comprehensive plan that has a section called intergovernmental coordination, and more importantly, to help us make better decisions, the Delaware Department of Transportation very graciously provides us with one and sometimes two experts to come and be a resource for the commission. I want to make sure that everyone understands that that is the role DelDOT representatives that are here this evening are to advise the five people up here that are going to make that decision. They are not here in support or opposition to any given application. They are here purely as a resource for us, and we're very grateful to have Mr. Todd Sammons and Ms. Suzanne Laws with us this evening, and I would like to invite you to come up, and if you would at least comment, confirm, deny what's been placed in the record by the applicant, and then add any other thoughts you might have, and then perhaps the commission may have a question or two for you.
Good evening. Thanks for the kind words. My name is Todd Sammons with Delaware Department of Transportation.
And Suzanne Laws with Delaware Department of Transportation.
And just want to thank the Planning and Zoning Commission for inviting us.
Okay. Well, you heard what the applicant placed in the record and certain representations made about DelDOT, DelDOT's plans, and so on. Can you just comment on that one way or another?
Sure. I'll give just a brief dialogue, and then please feel free to ask me any questions. The TIS was completed and accepted in July 26th of 2019. They have two access points proposed, and the traffic impact study addressed those two access points with a right in, right out on Route 24 and a full access on Angola Road. They worked with the department to mitigate the concerns that the department had with traffic movements, as well as I think was shared with the community and with the Planning and Zoning Commission here. And also within the traffic impact study letter, it goes into that they need to, one thing I don't know that they made a comment on is that they have to fund an equal portion of the project that DelDOT's conducting at that intersection. And Mr. Ryman did mention this. It's great when the projects align, meaning that if there's a major commercial project coming in on a corner, and then we have some sort of project like this one, the HEP project, that's mitigating the impacts of the normal traveling public and traffic volumes out there, as well as any that are proposed. So the timing's lining up well, and it looks like our project is going to be complete in February of 2022, and I would imagine they're going to be not far after that. But as part of the traffic impact study, it's been noted that they need to coordinate with the Department of Transportation to make sure that everything comes across and the coordination is there, so that there's less impacts to the traveling public with regards to maintenance of traffic, etc. And then everything else they said was spot on with regards to shared use path, any type of internal sidewalks.
Okay, looking at your proposed improvements here, that looks like an awful lot of money to me. Are we taxpayers footing the bill for all of this, or is the developer participating in the cost of it?
We would expect the developer to participate in, and that's actually in the traffic impact study. Now, the amount is yet to be determined based on the amount of trips they have, the cost of the project, etc. But that all will be done as they go through the entrance plan approval process.
But the developer is aware of this and understands that they will have financial responsibility.
They sure are. It's item number 3 in the traffic impact study letter. And they wouldn't allow us to put it in there if they weren't aware of it, trust me.
Well, just want to make that clear, okay? Anyone have any questions for our friends from Delmar?
I do. I'm not sure.
Or statement you
want to make. I'm curious as to when is a road considered failing? And, I mean, is 24 anywhere near that? And
yes. So that's a great question. Actually, with the project that the Department of Transportation is going to complete, it will have an acceptable level of service at that intersection and along that segment of 24 there. That's why it's important that if their project is allowed to move forward, that the timing of it works out and they're not open before our project goes in. Because as of right now, I think it's summer Saturdays have an unacceptable level of service. And in the future projections, which we do analysis, and there's a whole lot of things that go into that, there would be an unacceptable level of service out there even without their project. But with the DelDOT project and their project moving forward and complete, there will be acceptable levels of service at that intersection. Thus, the magnitude of the improvement out there and the amount of investment in that infrastructure with having all the movement served, the left, the through, the right on all four approaches, the realignment, the acquisition of right away from their project to accommodate that, there's a lot of things that go into it.
And you're satisfied that you've got enough land there now that we're ready for 20 years from now, if we've got to move, even if we got to go bigger? So I'm just now's the time to ask.
Sure. I'm not the engineer. Obviously, we have hundreds of engineers within the department, and I'm not the one that managed the design of this intersection, but they do project it out, whether it's five, typically it's 15 years or more, 20 years or more that they do it. I mean, that's something we could follow up and find out for you what the projection was, but they would not, the department would not invest this if it was a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year fix. We're talking a long-term fix for this intersection. So before it to fall back into an unacceptable level of service would take many, many years. And I understand, just so people understand, it's perception. Is if you're used to not having any cars on the road and you were here for 30 years, I've been here a long time myself, and then all of a sudden you've got a higher volume of cars, you'll think it's an unacceptable level of service. It doesn't make it so. There's still capacity there, but, you know, again, it's perception. But based on the engineer analysis that we do, it will be an acceptable level of service for now and into the future once the project's complete.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Hopkins, anything?
No question.
I do have just one thing. Okay. I'm sure I know the answer, but I just want to ask it anyways. You're not going to promote any crosswalks like on 24 for the residents to?
Based on, if you give us yes. 1 second here, actually it will be incorporated into the project here.
This is 24, and that's Rams and Millingola.
So they're on two legs of the intersection improvement will actually accommodate pedestrians. And they're most likely, because it's signalized, there'll be ped heads there, and there'll be refuge for the pedestrians to walk. I know it's hard to see. I can circulate it for you, but you can see where the crosswalks are and where the refuges are.
Closer to the intersection?
It's actually in the intersection itself.
Okay.
And I could hand this to you. I apologize.
Okay.
I don't have
okay.
a...
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking more of like this residential area.
And the people think, I think, a lot that we accommodate cars. We accommodate all forms of transportation. So PEDs are huge you know, when we factor in these types of projects, they're a huge part of it. So with this being signalized, they'll actually have buttons they can push, they can cross the roadway, hopefully safely.
I was more curious about the entrance coming, the right in and right out, that entrance with the property that's across the street, like the residents that are over there. You're not going to do anything there.
There would be no crossing there.
That's
where I was. That would be a block crossing.
No, all pedestrians are funneled towards intersections for safety reasons.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
It's okay.
Mr. Mears?
No question.
Just one to follow up on Bob's, and this really doesn't have anything to do with this particular application, but since you're here and some of the public's here, I'm just curious, you know, he talked about, or he asked and you answered, and everybody agrees that this developer is going to contribute to those intersection costs. Were there other developers that were required to contribute to some of those costs or developments around there as well? So it's not all taxpayer funded?
Correct. So there are a few residential subdivision developments proposed in that area that will also contribute based on the number of trips they send to the intersection.
Yeah, and any development that's east, west, north, or south of it that's in the proximity, if they're impacting the intersection enough, we would expect them to contribute to that, much to their chagrin. But yes, it's a public-private partnership when it comes to these. Now, if there wasn't any development and we were still doing this project, it would all be publicly funded. But
I make that point because I think a lot of times people don't understand that there are significant contributions made by development in the area. You know, one of the things we often hear is that, you know, in lieu of a TIS, there's a fee in lieu paid, and that's fairly small. You know, and folks don't understand necessarily that that's only one very little part of the overall process. There's still often a big amount of funding that goes towards either off-site improvements or actual road improvements that are made by developers, and not everybody understands that, so that's why I asked.
Absolutely.
That.
I mean, true. Whether you love or hate the proposal, it's they help to mitigate these types of improvements.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? All right then, take a seat, but don't leave because we may need
thank
again.
You.
Thank you.
Before the evening's over. Thank you. All right then. Well, let's see if anyone else is here with an interest in this application. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2176 KH Sussex LLC? In favor? Yes, sir. All the way in back. Come on up.
My name is Robert Wagley. I live in Rehoboth, not in that area, but my sister lives in the Anglota Beach Estates.
Okay.
She lost a leg to cancer, so she can't get out. I'm down in that area at least twice a week, running here, running there for her, and it sure would be a lot convenient to run to the corner to get bread and milk then all the way down the Long Neck area or back to Rehoboth. So for those reasons, and somebody mentioned it earlier about it being a good location for a convenience store, one of the gentlemen, and I agree with him, and I support the application.
All right, sir. We thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else like to speak in favor?
We did get several letters in support, which are part of the record.
Right. The letters we received are part of the record. They don't need to be read into the record this evening. They're already there. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to changes or conditional use number 2176? Yes, sir. Right there. Come on.
Kurt Smith I live at 33582 Herringview Drive. It's the Bay Point development. It's right next door to Angola Estates. I can literally walk from my house and half up to this intersection. Last year, I was here in front of the commission, not you folks, supervisors, rather. And I don't understand why we're here again. And I don't understand why conditional uses have a way of becoming permanent uses, regardless of whether there's infractions or otherwise abuses of a conditional use. So I'm not cheery about that. I'm also taken aback by this idea that pedestrians are going to cross there. That field right there has been sold off. So that's going to be houses. You're going to have pedestrians crossing the intersection. No matter the improvements that are made to the intersections, and those are aspirational, I do not believe the Del Dot and the developer are going to be able to mesh well and get it done in time. I've seen this before. It doesn't work. I suspect that these that they will be built out before the any improvements to the intersection take place. It's simply experience tells me that. And I look forward to reading about pedestrians being killed at the intersection, because it doesn't look to me like...
We do not look forward to that, sir, I can assure you.
Well, I'm being sarcastic, but...
I don't appreciate it, so I'd appreciate if you would be factual in your comments.
Yes, well, another thing then, you'll be patient with me, and I'm going to have to repeat what I repeated last year. For one thing, this does not reflect the fact that it slopes down towards the intersection as you travel towards it. There are lines of sight that are obscured. Also, the one turn onto Angola Road, I don't understand that, because that requires people to turn into oncoming traffic from both directions. People going to the intersection, people crossing from the through the intersection, coming off Romansville Road. I do not know where these letters of support are coming from. Nobody I've talked to in the area, and to include message traffic, if you will, next door, seems to be in favor of this. We have a convenience area just down the road at Peddler's Village, which has, and right across from there is a Valero gas station. Just down the road at the intersection of Route 1 and Route 24 is a another convenience station, Farms. The traffic coming from the north is already heavy enough that we are going through two light cycles now, and that's within the short period of time that we've been living in Bay Point, only about a year, coming up on 2 years. I've seen it already increase. And after all the improvements are made, it's still going to be one-lane roads in each direction, two-lane roads, country roads meeting each other. Yes, there are going to be additional turn lanes apparently here, but this is going to be placed entirely too close to the intersection. You're going to have rear-end accidents. You're going to have other accidents here as people in a hurry pull off suddenly in front of an intersection that's becoming more and more active. And it is my impression that DelDOT is rather slow to get the engineers down to do car counts. I've seen few of the air pressure hoses laid out around the county in my time here, which has been about 5 years now, to do car counts. So I think they don't probably have an accurate idea of what's coming up in the next 5, 10, 15 years with regards to that intersection in 24.
Sounds to me like they do from what they testified to.
They say they do. I haven't seen any air hoses.
Are you a traffic engineer, or do you have any knowledge yourself?
I've not seen any air hoses measuring either way recently, or in the 18 months I've been living back there. So what are they using for a count? There is a 641 houses due to be built a mile away here. Are they taking that into account? I don't hear any great demand from people I've talked to in the area that feel that this is some place that they're going to visit very often. It's just going to be another hazard, and also a problem with trying to cross that road, whether you're making a left turn to go up to go to the west, or whether you're trying to cross to Romansville. It will just be people pulling off abruptly into here, and I do not think it will generate the sort of business that 7-Eleven / Wawa, whomever, is going to anticipates it will, and what business it will generate will be cars all too often abruptly pulling off and out of it, and the effects will be to endanger the people approaching and crossing the intersection from all directions. I believe they, that also that the lines of sight, if you were to walk it or to walk around it, you would see the fact that there, as it slopes down approaching the intersection, I'm sorry to repeat myself on this, but there is not a good line of sight if you're coming this way on Angola Road. And as you're coming there, the road slopes down, so it's not as good a line of sight heading towards Route 1 to orient yourself. Apologize for the pauses here, but I had to scrawl this up tonight. Intersection, okay. All right, that's about all the points I have to make, except that it is not a convenience to the immediate area, since we already have existing convenience stores and gasoline stations within minutes drive of where we are. This will simply become more of an obstacle than a hazard. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Could I ask Mr. Schrader or Mr. Ryman a question?
I was going to do the same thing, but I'm going to let you do it.
Okay.
So there you go. Mr. Schrader, if you would step up for a second, or Mr. Ryman, or both of you.
We'll give you both.
Whoever's going to answer the question.
Yeah, I'll throw out the question, you tell me who it is. Coming around to that one entrance that's going to be on Angola Road, is there a deceleration lane or some lane so that it's not going to be people having to all of a sudden do a hard turn into the...
Correct. Actually, that's outlined in the traffic study, that we would have both right turn and left turn lanes into the entrance. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did you have other questions?
Yeah, I want to ask them about just again, because it's on people's minds. I think the gentleman had raised a fair question that's worth confirming. It's been our friends from DelDOT have said that they were coordinating with the developer for these things to happen pretty much the same time. Is that the developer's intention?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the plan. The plan is that this will all kind of come together at the same time, and so that we get an improved intersection at the same time we get a new convenience store.
Yes.
Thank you.
Can I make one further point in response to Ms. Stevenson's question? It should be noted that the intersection is signaled also.
Is it correct that that's the existing, the road, Robinsonville Road, but it looks like you're straightening it out.
Yeah.
It looks like it's getting straighter.
Yeah, so that if you go...
Kind of in, there you go, yep. In response to that blind, that
correct.
That difficult view that maybe some people perceive, or I mean, experience, it looks like you're straightening it out, see.
It'll be the same coming in off the 24 in the rights end, that there's a place for them to...
Correct. There'll be a deceleration lane as part of that as well, and that was also outlined in the traffic study.
Okay. And then the gentleman, just real quick. Oh, Mr. Mears, go ahead.
The addition of right-hand and left-hand turn lanes at an intersection, doesn't that alleviate a lot of the time?
Yes.
Experience?
Absolutely.
Waiting now?
Yes. Level of service is measured based on the amount of time it takes to get through an intersection. And the more lanes you have to alleviate those movements, the faster people get through.
Where currently someone making a right onto Route 24 could block people behind them from going straight or left. So
traditionally, the critical movements are typically the lefts, but yeah, same idea.
Yeah, thank you.
Just one last question, just for the record, because the gentleman did have a question about whether there were traffic counts that were done. Did you all...
Yes.
So traffic counts, and then based on any standards, do the future counts based on development as well?
Yes, we do new counts as part of a traffic study. In fact, a traffic study is a multi-step process. Step number one, scoping meeting with DelDOT to determine what you're going to study. Step number two is what we call the step one submission. That's the count submission. So we go out, we get new counts. We actually submit those to DelDOT. They review those counts, determine whether or not they're acceptable. If they're acceptable, we go on to what is called the preliminary TIS. We submit that, they review it. Once that's complete, we submit what is called the final TIS.
And were those counts done fairly recently?
While you're looking at it, Mr. Ryman, isn't it true they also use cameras now, not hoses?
There's lots of different ways to count cars. The hoses are typically a supportive measuring device, meaning they're there to confirm the counts that are collected that we obtain, which are done numerous different ways. One, you can use camera devices to count vehicles, and then the old-fashioned way, which is somebody out there counting them, which I've done back in my heyday. It's not fun. Bear with me, I'm going to get through.
I had Century Engineering out in my street, sitting there counting.
No kidding. Yep. Beach chair or whatever. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a summer job.
Yeah. Poor guy sitting out there did not look like he was looking for a summer job.
He wanted to know when the counts were done. He was trying to find them.
Yeah. The right time of year. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Get a good tan. Right. Question, did the TIS include summer weekend counts?
Yeah, it's AM, PM, and summer Saturday. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. The counts that were utilized were from the Acadia TIS. Traditionally, Del Dot will want the counts to be within a year.
Yeah, okay,
that's right. Typically what's normal.
Thank you. Okay, yes, ma'am, you're next.
Thank you. My name is Lou Terrell, and I live at 23391 Boatman's Court in Bay Point as well.
Okay.
I'm very confused about what they said about the lanes and not turning left and everything. Can I go over to that map and have Del Dot respond to me if it's correct?
Well, what I'd like you to do is go over to the map, and then you can tell us where your confusion is, and
okay.
Then I'll get the Del Dot folks to respond to it if we need them to.
This is going to remain a two-lane road, okay?
No, it's not. I mean, that's three lanes and then the other one going towards Angola by the
bay. Well, the third lane just starts right here.
Right.
Okay. You're going to have, we already have traffic backed up to here a lot of days. You understand that? It's two and three lanes.
I'm going to need you back at the mic to pick you up for the recording.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay.
And that's the point of adding the extra lanes is to relieve that backup. That's why the extra lanes are being put there.
Right.
So okay, but we're putting in 400 and some odd homes across from Angola by the bay. And then down the road, they're putting in more homes. There are two other subdivisions going in there. And last year it was estimated, when we were here for one of those subdivisions, that one subdivision of 400 some odd homes would add 1,000 more cars a day traveling on Angola Road. Okay? I can't imagine what it's going to be like with turning in and out. Okay, can I go back again?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so that other here is the road going out here.
That's their entrance.
Oh, the entrance, okay.
I know, it's all our recording. Sorry, yeah, it's cumbersome. Unfortunately, the room goes.
Is that right now where the exit is on that property? Is it further down? How much further down?
I'll find out.
Yeah.
How much further down?
Yeah,
okay, sorry. Okay, because if someone's coming around that, if we're going to have trucks coming around that corner and turning, it's going to be an issue. Turning in there, and for I assume that all the traffic that's coming in from Angola Road is going to turn left there as well. I mean, that's the only way that they're going to get in, unless they turn left onto 24, and then can they make another left?
No.
It's right in, right out.
No, it's right in, right out on 24. So yes, the answer to your question is yes, they will be turning left to get onto the parcel from
Angola Road.
From Angola Road.
Turning left right there, plus the traffic coming around the corner, which is pretty high during the day. The flow is high right now. And the 454 homes haven't been built yet.
Right.
And the 600 homes on Camp Arrowhead Road, and the 100 homes that are coming across from Angola Beach Road, and the other homes that are being built in those two smaller subdivisions aren't built yet, only five or six of them. So I'm not sure how we're going to manage all that traffic.
Okay.
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ryman, the existing driveway that's there now, what's the relationship between that and where the new one's going to be?
I do not have an exact dimension, but we are moving the entrance to the right. A couple things that I wanted to point out.
It's going to be further away from the intersection than it is now.
Correct.
Okay.
And ultimately, understand too that DelDOT is going to review the details of that actual entrance and its exact dimensions and its exact geometry and configuration as part of a lengthy entrance plan review process, which follows this process. One thing I wanted to point out is she was asking about cars backing up and how far they're backing up. And I think what's one of the things that's really difficult with this process is to understand that that's all going to change with this DelDOT project. By adding all of these additional movements at the intersection, it's going to change the stacking, or what we would call in the engineering world queue lengths, for an intersection. So one of the things I want to point you to, and it's not in my book, but it is in the appendix of the traffic study that was submitted to DelDOT and approved, it's at the end. There is a table which outlines the queue lengths that would be associated with this project and the full build out of the DelDOT project. And the right turn is, and actually it's a little bit tough, you can kind of see the blue here, and I'd be happy to pass it around or get this to you in another format, but the queues are going to back up, are going to pull up significantly. In addition, there was a lot of conversation about the other developments that are happening. That are, you know, there. I think she said something about 1,000 lots being approved somewhere. The traffic study process results in us including committed development.
Very kindly, you answered the question we asked you.
Okay.
Really don't need you to respond,
yes, sir,
to all of the ladies' testimony. If you would take a seat. And
Mr. Chairman, if you'll permit me, though, I think maybe this should be made a part of the record, which is the final traffic impact study Angola Retail, signed off on by Christopher D. Duke, and it's dated June 2019. And when you guys go to study the application, this is going to be helpful.
Yeah, and because he referred to it, that was the reason that I right. wanted to make sure it's part of the record. Thank you.
All right, good. All right, who's next? Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay, we'll take one from this side.
Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Peter Treber. I'm a resident of Bay Ridge Woods, which is almost exactly a mile from this intersection. I'm on the HOA board. I know that all of our board members oppose this, as we did last fall. We see no reason why, after a zoning variance was denied, that this conditional use should be approved. We feel it'll detract from our property values. We feel no need for this. Every resident in this whole area, thousands of people bought their homes thinking they were going to live in a rural area, and they knew there was no convenience store right around the corner.
Sir, let me ask you a question. How long have you lived where you live now?
2 years.
You've lived there 2 years. You bought that property thinking that that was a rural area that was never going to change.
I knew there was going to be development, but I didn't think it was going to be commercial.
Okay. Fair enough.
And obviously, it's right now. Even 2 years ago, there was plenty of development going on. We estimate now that within a couple of miles of that intersection, there's probably over 3,000 houses proposed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's also, we feel, a strong potential for pollution runoff into the wetlands, which is immediately adjacent to this property. And unless they have some unusual stormwater treatment facility to get rid of the chemicals and the trash that a service station normally produces, that it's going to pollute those wetlands. And despite the best intentions of your traffic engineers, DelDOT's engineers, and the engineer for this developer, the average driver does not use good sense and does not follow the good wishes and design of highway engineers. So I predict with the high-speed right turn from 24 onto Angola Road that there's going to be multiple accidents with the people exiting and trying to turn left out of the Angola Road exit. And also, despite the median plan for Route 24 to prevent left turns into that station, that there'll be a certain number of drivers that will attempt a U-turn to get back and to get into that service station, which is probably illegal and certainly very, very dangerous. So I feel personally, that permitting this use, this will be a huge financial gift to the property owners and will serve as a detriment to the people who already live in the area. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, who was next? I saw one or two other hands. Yes, ma'am, right over here.
Hello, my name is Pieta Shuckwit. I live also in Bay Point 23390. Bookman's Court, Waypoint. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I thought all three speakers said what we were thinking. I'm just picturing all the red lights of braking as cars on 24 getting into the 7-Eleven, braking as others are trying to go through 24. 24, as you mentioned, the question is how much more can we sustain on 24, which I know is a huge question, but I just see a lot. To reiterate what the gentleman said, I see a lot of accidents occurring, either people turning incorrectly. I understand you're going to have a median, but it just doesn't seem that intersection is a safe place considering how we drive and our visitors drive, and also just the volume of cars that are right now on Angola Road, let alone what becomes Robinsonville and 24. So thank you for your time.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Anyone else like to speak in opposition? All right then, being no further opposition, anyone on the commission have any questions? Any further questions for the applicant, for DelDOT? Anything else for DelDOT? All right then, ladies and gentlemen, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.